1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
The idea of a halfway house for sex offenders, in middle-class neighborhoods, obviously, or within the proximity of a middle-class neighborhood, obviously has the attention of a lot of neighbors and a lot of neighborhoods. Dr. Jim Sadler works as a criminal behaviorist at Alacan Institute in Cheviot Hills, New York. He joins us. The idea of franchising halfway houses for sex offenders, or what you call offenses against nature, in middle-class neighborhoods, why?
Well, Phil, it's a wonderful opportunity for making money. You can make your money off the rent that the tenants pay, 60% of which is paid for by the state. The sex offender or the child molester has a rehabilitative halfway house to live in while he works his way back into society.
Yeah, but why in middle-class neighborhoods are these halfway houses?
Well, it's a very good question. The suburban ideal, it's very calm, it's very peaceful. Traditional tree-lined streets of middle-class America sends a strong message to the former nature criminal. That these are good
nature criminals.
We consider them people who've committed offenses against the very essence of nature. They have crimes against nature. And these are good values to have. So if you put the child molester or the nature criminal in a suburban atmosphere, these values can rub off.
But these are the very neighborhoods where there are kids.
Ah, okay, yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I see. But, and I knew you'd say that, all right? I knew you'd say that.
These are the neighborhoods where there are children.
And we get this question a lot.
Well, what do you say to that? You put a halfway house for crimes against nature guys and sex offenders, and you put them in a neighborhood.
We get that question a lot.
Well, what do you say?
You know, I knew you'd get around to that. That's a lot of smoke and mirrors. The media plays that up. A former sex maniac moves into a neighborhood and they start jumping to conclusions. Remember that these men, Phil, have paid their debt to society and now have a constitutional right to live on a clean street in a quiet neighborhood. We are interested in the rehabilitation of the sex nut or the sex maniac, or what you want to call the nature criminal.
I don't get why it has to be in a so-called quiet neighborhood, though. Again, you have the halfway house for what you describe as former sex nuts in a middle-class neighborhood.
It's a hard, Phil. What I'm trying to say is it's a hard road rebuilding a life after molesting a child, and they need a quiet, clean neighborhood to help them, think through where they need to go next. Other than, yes, being sex maniacs or a sex freak, they're just like you and I. Other than that,
Other than that, they're just like me, so they get to live in a neighborhood. I mean, to me, this is why you've got this resistance, okay?
But that's a lot of smoke and mirrors.
You never answered the question. Why is it that there's children in these neighborhoods? Why would you put these houses there?
And I, as I said, I knew you'd ask that question.
What is the answer?
The media is playing it up.
See, this is the whole thing where the media keeps getting beat up. I'm in the media. I really get tired of my profession taking it for every single bad mistake and every single wrong decision made by someone. People say the media did this and the media did that. You are saying, and in your brochure, former sex maniacs, sex nuts, and sex freaks. This hardly makes a neighborhood feel secure.
Phil, again, many of these sex, they have a right to a clean neighborhood to live in. And many of them sit out on the lawn and they're not allowed to wander off into the surrounding housing area. So why don't you feel good about that?
Yeah, in the brochure it says many of our sex nuts sit out on the front lawn and never wander off.
That is absolutely correct. And I dare you to have one bit of proof that any sex nut that was housed at a Sadler rehabilitative sex rehabilitation thing, a house, ever attacked anyone.
Are these guys violent?
Well, you asked, are they violent?
Are they violent?
No, they're not violent. They're real different. I mean, you get a load of the files on some of these guys, and it's very, I got to tell you, it's very interesting reading. We have a guy in one of our halfway...
Well, isn't that great?
Well, I want to tell you, we have a guy in one of our halfway houses in Michigan. His name is Raleigh Ginaway. And this guy is way out there. But the suburban experience has been able to turn him around.
All right, are these guys going... Let me give our phone number at 1-800-449-8686. As we talk to Dr. Jim Sadler, a behaviorist, on the desirability of putting halfway houses for sex offenders in middle-class neighborhoods. You say they are able to absorb the middle-class values. Now, you're talking about this guy, whoever he is.
Raleigh Ginaway has done a marvelous job in...
And why do you call them, in the brochure, sex nuts?
Because that's what they are. You ought to get a load of the files on some of these guys. It's they're real different.
All right, are these guys going through counseling and therapy?
Are they going through? Yeah, are they going through counseling and therapy?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, they're going through that.
Well, what kind?
Well, the kind that you sit and talk to somebody. I don't know. What do you mean, what kind?
Are they in therapy to help them begin to control their impulses?
Sure. Yeah. That's we have they. I mean, they got Oprah. I don't know what you're talking about.
What do you mean they watch Oprah?
Well, they're in therapy, all right? The halfway house is all about. It helps you get halfway out the door, but not all the way, so I don't know what you mean.
Well, how long are these neighborhoods going to be asked to have these halfway houses for sex offenders?
Well, fortunately, I have the example of my brother Leo Sadler, Phil, and I'll tell you something out of my life, and this is very painful. My brother Leo was tragically convicted of being a sex maniac. After the 5 years he did at the men's colony in San Luis Obispo, it took him only 6 months at one of our halfway houses that I operated with my partner, Dr. Nat Schiller, before he was able to get out into the world. Only 6 months, and behave in a halfway civilized way. It only took that long. Plus, he also had so much electroshock in prison, which is also something that you can do. But this is great. And again, it's something that a person such as yourself, Phil, and whoever could get involved in at the ownership level.
I'm not interested in owning a halfway house for what you call sex nuts. And I think some of this stuff... And what do you mean he had a lot of electroshock in prison?
That's, I think, helped him along toward recovery. But it only took him 6 months to get back out into the world and to begin to act like...
A civilized human being?
Close to it, but better than he was.
Is he attacking people? Is he sexually assaulting women?
No.
Does he have a job?
That's the thing. We keep them from sexually assaulting women or children, but they're not much good for anything else for a few months. That's why I say we don't let them go off the lawn. And
all right. So now in a middle class neighborhood, you have what you call sex nuts sitting out on the front lawn. They're not allowed to go out.
I don't know what you want from me. I mean, they watch Oprah.
1-800-449-8686. Dr. Jim Sadler with us with a controversial plan to place halfway houses for what he calls sex freaks. And you heard him. You ought to read the files on some of these guys. It's real interesting. Halfway houses in these neighborhoods, and it's just not going to work out. Now, he says his brother, it only took him 6 months in a halfway house to get situated in the world. That's fine, but that's after electroshock in prison. And I said, did you hear this guy? He said, the guy doesn't commit these sex acts anymore, but the freaking guy is not good for much else. 1-800-449-8686. Let's talk to Marcia. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, thanks.
Yes.
My comment or question is, what kind of...
Dr. Sadler, you there?
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
I'm asking Dr. Sadler.
I'm right here, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you very well.
Okay. What kind of case study do you have if these people don't reoffend? And in my neighborhood, where my children are out walking up and down the street where they're supposed to be able to feel safe...
That's a lot of... I would not worry about the safety of your children. The media has...
Here we go with this media thing.
Well, the media they always put on the TV a lot of homeowners such as yourself, Marcia, and they're running up and down the street with picket signs because they don't want some sex nut living next door to them. And it turns out the guy didn't do a thing.
didn't do with... What about the guy that... Excuse me for interrupting, Marcia.
Well, what, are you putting words into your listener's mouth now, Phil?
I'm not putting words in her mouth. I'm just asking, what about this guy? Remember the guy that chopped off the girl's arms? This guy moved into a neighborhood.
Well, he wasn't in one of our halfway houses, so don't look at me, all right?
Do you get to screen who you get in your halfway house? I mean, doesn't the state just give you what they need to be rehabilitated?
Absolutely.
I mean,
that's exactly right. Yes, they do.
So
some
you, have no,
real
you have no control.
Some
you have
of
no
them
control
are,
over
your
them.
Your children are safe to if they stay
to
100
stay in
feet,
the house locked up.
No, if
which
they
is
stay
not the point.
If they stay 100 feet from our home, from the
oh,
halfway house.
Oh, so you can't
house.
Guarantee anything after that. After your sex offender starts profiling
well, can I
my
ask
child,
you a question? What is your child doing 100, coming within 100 feet of some sex
offender? What if he's just walking down
lawn?
The street?
He doesn't. He's not allowed to. They're not allowed off the lawn.
He's not allowed to walk down the street in his
no,
neighborhood
no,
anymore.
No, they are allowed to get into a van, go off to work detail or the various work jobs that they have. But once they're on the sex at the halfway house, they don't go off the sex lawn.
And as the kids walk up and down the neighborhood, and one
you
of your
know,
sex
you're asking
offenders,
me about your kids. What do you let your
yeah,
kids do?
My
do
kids,
they wander onto the lawn of where a sex
street.
Nut is? I don't think you let them do that.
Oh, so my kids can no longer feel safe to walk up and down the street in their neighborhood? Isn't that supposed
you're
to be
Muslim?
What?
Let me ask you something. You let your kids walk near a sex nut house?
Well, you're telling me you want to
no,
bring
no, no, no,
these
no, no,
people
no, no. You are asking me the questions.
America.
I'll ask you a question. Do you let your kids walk within 100 feet of a sex freak domicile?
Hell no.
Sex freaks. You know, you're a doctor who is charged with the rehabilitation of these guys, and all you've done is call them sex freaks, sex nuts.
No, the lady answered my question. Hell no. You're a good mother. If there were more women like you, we wouldn't have to see half of these overfed Oprah watchers on TV with their signs saying, get the nut out of my neighborhood.
But in
all
the
right.
same instance, 1-800- my
thank
children...
You. I got a break. Thank you, Marshall. 1-800-449-8686. Dr. Jim Sadler on The Phil Hendry Show.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Oh, they're real interesting, yeah.
All right, Dr. Jim Sadler is with us talking about halfway houses for sex offenders in middle-class neighborhoods being a desirable thing from the standpoint that those middle-class values rub off on those guys and they shouldn't be run out of the neighborhood. You mentioned your brother Leo, a convicted sex maniac. He had electroshock in prison after 5 years. It took 6 months for him to reacclimate himself into society.
That is correct. And I'll tell you, Phil, from my standpoint, that's a pretty good record.
Yeah, but you said all the guy can do is like sit and play with his fingers. I mean, he just sits there staring at the grass.
Well, he's not out there, you know, being a sex nut.
Well, he's sitting on a lawn somewhere, not being a contributing member of society. I don't call that rehabilitation.
And I don't think you qualified, Mr. Hendrick.
Look, the guy is sitting on a lawn playing, you know, mumbly peg. You know, the guy's had electroshock.
I don't think you qualified either to mock my efforts or to comment on my brother, you're right. He doesn't really communicate. He communicates with his hands. And
oh, my God. You got a guy sitting on a lawn somewhere out there in America who can only speak with hand language. He's had so much electroshock.
But he's not going out. I'm not fighting him with dogs anymore. I mean.
All right. Let me go to Janice on The Phil Hendry Show. Janice.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
My comment or question is, Doctor, how could you, with any conscience at all, say that your brother was tragically convicted of being a sex offender?
You got to admit
to
it was
me,
some tough
wait a
luck.
Minute, let me
it
finish.
Was tough luck.
Let me finish. I am a victim of a sex crime when I was 8 years old.
What happened?
Well, what do you
me?
Think
what
happened?
Did you say?
He said, what happened?
I just want to know
what happened. A man around the corner in my middle-class neighborhood attacked me. And left me laying there half-dressed.
Oh, yeah?
What do you mean, oh, yeah? God! Jesus!
Yeah, I mean, this is is a mass-class neighborhood, and I swear to God, if one of those houses were put into my neighborhood now,
right,
where I have two children and three grandchildren still in my home,
can I, Janice,
I'd burn this place down.
I'm sorry. Let me back up and say this. Janice, I really believe in what we're doing. There was a time in my life when I felt myself beginning to get a little twisted.
Okay,
I was reading a lot.
Let
me just finish. Let me finish my point.
All right, Janice, hold on.
So are you.
Well, let him finish his point, though.
My point is this, Phil and Janice. I was reading a lot of these case studies, and I was getting, hot. I mean, that's all there is to it. And so
you're reading sex freak case studies and getting hot.
I checked myself
I caught that
in.
Too.
I checked myself in to one of our halfway houses, and I'm better now. And I'm trying to show that we can turn these guys around.
The guy is, what do you mean you're better now?
I don't.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so
remember
now you're laughing at me.
You don't want me
laughing at you, but you're laughing at me.
Oh,
this woman was attacked when she was a child.
You would have a serious problem. Because when someone is a victim of a crime such as that, where it takes away so much of you, that when you're older and you
right.
have children, but before you have children, you have several miscarriages.
Exactly.
That
that's
you
horrible.
Wonder
Janice, that's
has
terrible.
To do with that man and what he did to
well,
you.
Have you, ever, have you ever read the case studies of some of these guys? They're real different. And
we're not interested.
I'm afraid if I did, I would have to get my gun and start blowing them away. Either that or Lorena Bobbitt them, which would be a nice thought for some of these guys.
Oh, yeah?
Because think about it. You men cannot in any way, shape, or form go through what we go through, the invasion, what a man can do to a woman. In no way, shape, or form can you put yourself in my position and be where I have been and go through what I have been through and countless other women and children in our nation. And then for you to have the nerve to say that the morals of the middle class neighborhood are going to rub off on these guys. Oh, no. I think that's just the perfect opportunity for them to find more victims.
I'd like to ask the doctor at this time. I'd like to ask the doctor a question this time. Do you have a wife? Do you have normal relationship with a woman?
I see prostitutes. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Every couple of weeks.
Oh,
I'm very,
yeah.
I relate to them normally. I relate to them normally. I want you to know that, Janice.
You see prostitutes.
Is not relating with a woman normally.
I
relating
beg to differ.
Relating with a woman normally would not involve exchanging money.
I can
sex,
tell you.
Number
that,
one.
Well, that's the only way they'll do some of the things that I want. That's the only way they'll do some of the things that I want. And
what
you
things?
Are a sick person, and you
I have wonderful
should not be running a halfway house.
No wonder you call them sex nuts. I don't think you have any respect for them.
No.
Janice, you were saying that when you were younger, you were raped. Can you tell me what happened?
No, she's not going to tell you. Shut up!
He's
a freak.
Did you hear this?
Yeah, he's a sick freak.
He is absolutely a sick
okay,
freak.
Okay, once again, Schaefer. Once again, Schaefer, you give me a bad guest. What's that, Janice?
What state, what area is he in? Because this just terrifies
I don't know. The stuff that we got from him.
Wants details of my rape so he can get off? I mean, where's he at? Is his pants down at his knees?
I don't know. I hung up on him. Where's this guy from, Mike? All the information I have here is, well, the information I've got here is, that's for us to know and you to find out, is what it says here. All right,
well,
Janice.
That's that the class of people. I swear it.
Mental cases. Total, yeah, he's a sick, twisted guy.
And he's the one that's determining that these guys are well enough to go out on the
street. Out on the street. Oh. He's got his own brother sitting out on the front lawn doing thumb twists.
Playing
tiddlywinks, can barely communicate like a normal human being. Guy's had electroshock, but he's okay, according to his brother. Well, Janice, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye. What us? You're fired, Schaefer. Either that or I have to fire myself, and that's not going to happen. Okay, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. And now, Phil Hendry.
I am Rudy Canoza, and a businessman. I must tell you that I distanced myself entirely from the preceding segment of the Phil Hendry Show. It was disgusting, without any redeeming social value, and I would distance myself more, except that I am being created by Phil Hendry. He is doing my voice right now. And so, if I could distance myself from Phil Hendry, that would be Phil Hendry distancing himself from himself. That's how sick and disgusting. I hate him. But I can't do anything because I am him. I am sick and disgusting.
Hi, everybody. Bud Dickman Weekly Top 10.
Boys and girls want to hear a true story. Saturday night is at this real wild.
This is City High.
Hey, Bud, man.
Yeah?
What's the name of this?
City High.
I can't hear it because the music's too loud.
City High.
I can't hear it because the music's too loud.
City High.
I hear you, but the music's too loud.
City High.
I hear you, but the music's too loud.
What are we doing anyway? Freak.
Bud Dickman number 10. Babe Ruth number 3.
Baby, that's no excuse to be living all crazy. Then she looked me right square in the eye.
Roger Staubach number 12.
Hoping to die, she said. Things got I know about pain, cause me and my sister ran away, so my daddy couldn't break.
There's a band called City High breaking into the music scene under the direction of Wyclef Jean. Is the new hip-hop R&B group by the same of a name of a City High. This trio brings forth a fresh new look and sound at contemporary hip-hop. I can't. Somebody turn a light on. At contemporary hip. Oh, I'm reading. I'm sorry. I thought you thought I was ad-libbing. That's down from number 8, City High. What would you do? Now at number 9, up from number 10, Get Your Freak On, Missy Misdemeanor Elliott. That was Missy Misdemeanor Elliott, Get Your Freak On. Now at number 7 is a song...
But wait a second.
Who are you?
I'm a guy listening to your show at home with my teenage daughter. Remember you were trying to pick up on her last week?
Uh-huh.
Just calm down.
Well, I'm...
Just calm down. What's next?
Number 8. Yes, number 8. This is Dido. And the song is Thank You. Number 8. I'm gonna go take a crap. I'll be right back. Excuse me.
Bud Dickman's taking a crap.
Dido continuing to slide like the runs I had after eating a burrito one time, down from number 7 to number 8, and before that, she's like number 5. She's sliding out like a perfect crap-taking music, Dido. We had an opportunity to catch up with Dido after a recent appearance on some show, and we asked her, what was her reason for what's her reason for getting out of bed in the morning?
I don't know. It's just fun to know that I make music that makes people happy.
Why do you sound so bored in the song, Thank You?
It's just the fact that I am, and I don't know.
That's Dido at number 8. At number 7 is R. Kelly. But this, he's not featuring Rave On now. He's featuring Jay-Z, which is a lubricant.
After the show, it's the after party, then. After the party, it's the hotel lobby, then. After the Belvy, then it's probably Chris. And after the original, it's probably this. Yes, my Fiesta, Fiesta. Remix with the homie from the Midwest side. Game recognized, game new too. It's a new two live crew, I suppose you knew. So clubs, the toasters, but don't approach us or...
You may remember R. Kelly with Ravon. That's R. Kelly with Jay-Z. You think that's a person, it's really a lubricant. We asked R. Kelly about it.
Well, one time I was playing with a hot dog.
That's number 7, way up from number 16, Fiesta.
I'ma be drinking till the early as I shot it like a kiss.
R. Kelly sounds like a real bad boy, like he's really hardcore. But this is what he really sounds like in an interview.
I just want to go home and have a hot chocolate and go to bed.
You're really just a pussy, aren't you?
Well, basically, yeah. And
you're coming off sounding like you're hardcore in that song.
I don't know. I didn't mean to.
Fiesta.
I'm sorry.
All right, I'm sorry. I pissed you off.
Okay.
R. Kelly, a real punk. Holding steady at number 6 this week is the band Uncle Cracker. I asked the band members what they thought the song means, and it's called Follow Me.
What, are you stupid or something? It means follow me.
Oh, okay, I was just wondering.
Number 6.
You don't know how you met me. You don't know why you can't turn around and say goodbye. All you know is when I'm with you, I make you free and swim through your veins like a fish in the sea. I'm singing, follow me, everything is alright. I'll be the one to tuck you in at night. And if you want to leave, I can guarantee you won't find nobody else like me.
Here's a Bud Dickman factoid about Uncle Cracker. You may think it's a band, but it's actually one guy, and that's what he calls himself, Uncle Cracker. Holy Jesus.
You're feeling guilty, and I'm well aware. But you don't look ashamed, and baby, I'm not scared. I'm singing, follow me.
A Bud Dickman belch.
I'll be the one to tuck you in.
Even though we're listening to Uncle Cracker, I want to go back to that interview with R. Kelly.
Why do you want to talk to me? You just play me.
I think you're a pussy.
I know. Quit it. And you're mean to me.
Yes, riding the coattails of Kid Rock. All the way up to number 6, it's Uncle Cracker with Follow Me. By the way, the song continues to play because it really never ends. It just keeps on going. That's why we can't fade it out or anything. We'll be right back with more of the Top 10. Jeez, right after this in a Bud Dickman Weekly Top 10.
This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Welcome back to Bud Dickman Weekly Top 10. I'm Bud Dickman. This is a Weekly Top 10. We're down to number 5. Nelly was actually a guy named Cornell Haynes Jr., but he decided to change his name to name himself after a plow horse. Here is my interview with Nelly.
How come you call yourself after a horse? Well, I thought it'd be fun. And it is fun. People say, oh, Nelly. Whoa, Nelly, all that crap. They do it at concerts.
Who's City Spud?
City Spud is a guy I'm on stage with. We do a lot of gags about him being French fried. That potato jokes, vodka, But he's just no one. He's somebody that I'm dragging along and giving a career to because, frankly, when I first met him, he had paint all around his lips and his nose.
You call him Mr. Potato Head.
You really are a retard, aren't you?
Yeah, right.
This Nelly with City Spud. Ride with me. Number 5555.
What a nut!
Notice that Nelly doesn't sound anything like he sounds when he sings. We asked him why that is.
Well, I wanted to sound like the worst nightmare I had of the guy that would take my daughter out on a date. And it's this guy, the way I sound. I trained myself to sound like a guy that I wouldn't want dating my daughter.
That's neat.
Yeah, whatever, Tard.
Everybody, hey, must be the money.
You brush your hair, and I like those stylish clothes you wear. I like the way the light hit the ice and glare, and I can see you moving way over there. If you wanna go and take a ride with me, we three women in the four with the dozies. Oh,
hey, must be the money. Hey, show me the money.
Somebody front act, don't know how to act.
Hey, must out!
You should feel the impact. Shopping with plastic. When the sky's the limit and them haters can't get past that. Watch me as I gas that. 4.6 rain. Once again, anything change. Every time I switch lanes, it feels strange now. Making a living on my brain.
Hey, must be! Ow.
My own name now. Damn, put the change now. Running credit checks with no shame now. I feel the fame. Come on, I can't complain no more. I'm the main.
Hey, man!
Pages out of New Jersey.
Hey! There he is, Nelly with City Spud. At number 5, Ride With Me. And that brings us now to number 4. Lifehouse is the brainchild of a guy that...
Number 4, Lifehouse.
Desperate for changing.
Trying to sound like Stone Temple Pilots.
Serving for truth.
And Creed.
Closer to where I started.
Hey, it must be the money!
I'm falling even more in love with you. Letting go.
Yes, Lifehouse. Don't they sound sullen and modern? We spoke with the lead singer of Lifehouse in his oh-so-chic pad, all black wallpaper, and his sullen, depressed attitude, even though he's just banked $6 million.
I don't know. It sucks. But what we're doing with this album, I think, is probably very special. I wasn't happy with the mix. We're going out on the road. All the dates are ruined, and...
Oh, why? Why do I have to have money?
Well, don't you think you have a good record?
No. No, I don't. Listen to it. Jesus.
I asked the members of Lifehouse if it was Ritalin when they were kids.
Yeah, it sounds pretty good to me, isn't it, Jack?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was Ritalin for me, too.
Yeah, it's probably my problem, too.
There's Lifehouse and... Hanging by a Moment, number 4 in this week's Bud Dickman Wee Wee Top 10. On this week's Wee Wee Top 10, well, hold on for a minute. Hello?
Why are you saying it's the Wee Wee Top 10? You're blowing it.
Oh, did I say it? Yeah.
You hit a tree once, didn't you?
Yeah, I have a steel plate in my head.
Yeah, so it probably messes with your motor part of your brain.
Yeah, a little bit.
Because you just said wee-wee, top 10.
Oh, thank you. I not know.
Yeah, and you just said I not know, too, so... I mean, I'm just out here listening, okay? I'm sitting here with my teenage daughter every week.
Oh, yeah, you're the guy.
Yeah, I'm the guy that threatened to cut it off because you were dating her. Just keep it up, but that wee-wee top 10 is it's blowing me away.
All right, sorry. Okay, the Bud Dickman wee-wee top 10. We're going to go...
You're doing it again.
And now it's time for number 3. It's Destiny's Child. It's down from number 2. It's sliding down like a bad taco out of my colon.
Stop, 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 stop it. No, wait just a minute here.
What do you do? You're not allowed to stop music.
Don't use like a taco out of my colon. Say something else.
It's sliding down like a...
Like the drip. How about that?
Like a drip.
Disgusting.
Sliding down like I've got the drip. Here's Survivor, Destiny's Child at number 2. I mean 3. 3, 2. 2, 3. 3, 2, 1. Last off. It's number 3. I just looked.
Number 2.
3. 3.
3.
But I'm stronger. You thought that I'd be broke without you, but I'm richer. You thought that I'd be sad without you. I love harder. Thought I wouldn't grow without you. Now I'm wiser. Thought that I'd be helpless without you, but I'm smarter. You thought that
Let's
I'd
go
be
to our big Bud Dickman phone line. Hey, you're on the air. How you doing?
Yeah, Bud, man, I'm doing really good. Every week we check you out. Everybody all around the world. Love all around the world, man. I wanted to ask you a question, Bud. Because I know you know a lot of people what you play on the show.
Go ahead, ask away. What you want to know, homie?
Well, do you think that I could have sex with Destiny's Child if I paid them enough money?
Yes, I do.
All right, man, but I knew you'd have the answer.
Send your questions to Bud Dickman Answers Your Questions in care of this station.
You thought that I would die without you, but I'm living.
That's Survivor, Destiny's Child, down from number 2. Down from number 1 to number 2 is Janet Jackson, and we talked to her about it.
What do you think about being down from number 1 to number 2?
Yeah, I don't figure, man. You know, I was number 1 a long damn time. Everybody tell me I'm number 1, and my brother Michael is a schmuck, man. He's a stone freak, you know. Stone freak, you dig what I'm saying, man? There ain't no damn way. Everything else.
We have a listener question.
Yo, Janet, man, if I paid you enough money, would you have sex with me?
Hell yeah, man, that's not gonna problem with me.
Number 2.
And now the new number 1. Lady Marmalade from those three chicks.
Yo, Bud, you think these three chicks would have sex with me if I paid them enough money?
Yeah, I do.
The Phil Hendry Show.